what's happening in the media is that the people who control the national security desk at major media outlets often are on the payroll of the CIA and have dual jobs. As you know, Daniel Sheehan, who did the Pentagon Papers with the New York Times, as well as a counterintelligence Air Force official, both have admitted that there are people that they pay off in the media. The truth is that people are confusing intelligences from other dimensions with extraterrestrial civilizations. They're two separate, totally separate things, which is, of course, exactly what the intelligence community wants to do, because that confusion creates, again, the ability to attach this us versus them narrative that justifies trillions of dollars in war expenditures, weaponizing space, public riled up about some existential threat, when in reality, that's a matter of consciousness and the development of higher states of consciousness.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear, you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with flaxseed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwessel.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Dr. Stephen Greer coming to the program. And for those of you who do not know who he is, he's the big UFO guy. He did the Disclosure Project. It was 20 years ago from this year, and it was a big deal. And over a billion people saw this Disclosure Project, and he's thinking about doing another Disclosure Project this year for the 20-year anniversary. But this interview got pretty, I can tell I touched on some things that he is often challenged on. That's a good word. He's challenged on it a lot. And I'm like not really in that subculture of UFOs. So I was just asking questions. And so it's an interesting conversation. So you get to see kind of some of his thoughts and what's going on. And as people know, I do cover human trafficking, and I've been talking to people with inside the system, the Illuminati system, and trying to understand why people would possibly do some of those activities. And we're learning that there is this other dimensional entities they claim that are controlling humanity. And that's something he is just not, he doesn't want to go there. He's not something that he's familiar with. He really likes to focus on the entities that come from our universe out of space, from other planets and things, and he believes they're all good. They're not evil, and they want to do us no harm. And so I ask him about that and why that is. One thing that's really interesting is he has this app that allows you to have contact with different alien beings. No idea what it's about. He just talks about it briefly and gives you a way that you can download this app. I think that's really fascinating. But I mean, I don't know if it works. I don't know if it's anything about it other than he talks about it and, hey, you might as well go check it out and see what the heck that's about, because that's a really fascinating thing. I always like to check out different things. And then you can get back to me and tell me what you think about it and whether you think it's a legit way to talk to somebody. I mean, I don't. For me, I never trust anything until I actually see it myself. And he actually, to his credit, he says the same thing. Don't believe anything until you see it yourself. So, you know, goes with everything that people say, including what he says, I say, anybody else says. Anyways, let's get into this really interesting conversation with Dr. Stephen Greer. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the show.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here. I know we're having some problems with technical issues. You're on video. We had to switch to another system. It's terrible, but at least we got this going. I wanted to have you on because you are essentially the father of the disclosure movement. And we have been seeing this soft disclosure coming from the mass media. Tucker Carlson specifically has been doing a little bit of disclosure. What do you think about all of that?
Well, I think that if people were to step back a minute, look, the information coming out now is one part truth, 10 parts falsehood. For example, you have a lot of media reports that these objects, these UAPs, as they call them now, which is not what they are, they're not even UFOs. We'll talk about what they actually are a threat to the national security. That's all completely concocted by people trying to get a lot of money for funding clandestine operations. And what's happening in the media is that the people who control the national security desk at major media outlets often are on the payroll of the CIA and have dual jobs. As you know, Daniel Sheehan, who did the Pentagon Papers with the New York Times, as well as a counterintelligence Air Force official, both have admitted that there are people that they pay off in the media, and that the CIA back in the 70s even had 42 people who were major editors of media outlets that were on the payroll, the CIA. And so what the public ends up getting through the mainstream media is a little bit of information, mostly disinformation, and the really important information is kept secret. So on what you're seeing right now on various outlets, it's not just Fox with Tucker Carlson. I mean, the New York Times, CNN have all had stories about our jets chasing these objects up the California coast. But the reason that was leaked, and it actually was not a leak, it was the deliberate release, was so that they could attach the narrative that's completely false, that these UFOs were a threat to the national security, when they all know that they're not. In fact, we had recently had a senior official who was behind that leak state to us that they know that they're not a threat, but that that's the only way they can get funding for these covert programs is to present it as a threat and to create endless war. So what's really happening, you know, I founded the Disclosure Project 20 years ago, and actually it goes back much further than that, because the entire Disclosure Project was a outgrowth of Project Starlight, which is when I was briefing the Clinton administration and his CIA director, and discovered that these projects were so secret that they were unacknowledged and they were not providing information to the present CIA director, and were being run as a criminal enterprise. So once we discovered that, we decided to take all this to the public because the politicians wouldn't deal with it. But in the process of doing that, I had some meetings with some senior people in the media who said, look, Bob Schwartz, who was on the board of Time Life, which eventually became AOL, Time Warner, CNN, he said, look, we're all scribes taking dictation at the right hand of the king. And I said, what do you mean? He says, we basically print and tell people what we're told to print and tell people about something this sensitive. So I think the public, first of all, needs to understand whatever they see in the media, it's a partial truth, if not a damn lie. And what we're trying to do through our continuing educational programs and documentaries is to get the actual facts out and truth. But even that's a challenge because we recently had YouTube Movies ban both of our documentaries, even though they were the number one documentaries in the world. Because of content, and the content is actually very positive. It does serve as some whistleblower testimony about these sort of corrupt enterprises in the government, But what you're finding is that even the internet giants now are beginning to censor any kind of free speech that challenges the almighty state.
Yeah, that's very clear. I mean, I've been a victim of that pretty aggressively. I've even had my website taken down, which I immediately got put up in another country on a safe, secure zone. But my question now, how, you know, I've had Paul Hellyer on, and he talks about the fact that we have a pretty evil entity that is engaged with us. And some people say it's another dimension. And then he also said that there's this galactic planetary council that has taken notice of this. And because they're concerned, not necessarily about us per se, because they have a hands-off approach, but that they're worried that they're going to destroy the Earth and that'll upset the dynamics of the universe. And so they are taking a notice of us. And there's a whole line of fleet of starships between the sun and Earth. That's what he said last week. Is this what you're finding?
Well, unfortunately, you know, I originally provided the information for Mr. Hellyer. He'd subsequently had, you know, people who are disinformation agents like Linda Moutenhall and others sink their claws into him, who subsequently, of course, convinced him of a completely nonsensical narrative. In fact, 100% of what you just said is false. It's my position to know this, not his. He's a retired person. And certainly there's a big confusion going on. So, you know, to unpack what you just asked about, even though it conforms with the mythology and the lunatic fringe of everything ufological, the truth is that people are confusing intelligences from other dimensions with extraterrestrial civilizations. They're two separate, totally separate things. So, you know, I think one of the problems is there's a deliberate confusion. I call it cosmological indigestion. So let's say that your great grandmother has dropped dead, and there's some poltergeist type phenomenon pursuant to her coming back into the house. That's not extraterrestrial. So not everything that goes bump in the night and every weird thing that happens is of extraterrestrial origin. An extraterrestrial biological entity, or even from other star systems, they traverse other dimensions, but they're not from other dimensions. There's other phenomena, plural, that are from other dimensions. And what has deliberately taken place, particularly by religious nuts and people who are posing as scientists within the Pentagon, the CIA, and the UFO community, is to deliberately commingle and confuse two different things, so that everything that comes, you know, roaring out of the ninth ring of hell is called an extraterrestrial. This is part of the disinformation. Unfortunately, Mr. Hellyer has been a victim of that. I usually do not speak of people individually. I'm very fond of him. I introduced him to this subject and we did a conference together. But unfortunately, he got dragged into the cesspool of ufology and the whole disinformation nexus. And he doesn't have a foundation in his own personal experience or archive to know the distinction. So he's mixing up a whole bunch of stuff. Which is, of course, exactly what the intelligence community wants to do, because that confusion creates, again, the ability to attach this us versus them narrative that justifies trillions of dollars in war expenditures, weaponizing space, and scaring the hell out of the public. So 100% of what he said is false. And the truth is that you know, frankly, with all due respect, he would not be in a position to know what was actually factually going on or not. I'll say that with absolute certainty.
Okay, well, I'm just asking you questions based on what other people are saying, you know, because I also talk to insiders with...
Well, I,
No, I'm just trying to clarify what you think, because I know you're an expert, and so I would love, I'm just trying to get your view on it. So it's really great to hear that. And having opposing views, I'm fine with. That's great. I want to hear your input, because people are confused. They're trying
well, it's not
to figure
views.
It out.
No, wait.
Go ahead.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Wait. Stop.
No, I am.
As,
go ahead.
As Senator Patrick Daniel Moynihan said, everyone is entitled to their own opinion.
But not
they're
their
not
own
entitled
facts.
To their own set of facts. So here are the facts. There are multiple civilizations that are extraterrestrial that are involved with visiting and observing this planet, waiting for us to grow up. None of them are hostile. If they were hostile, given the technological capabilities, our whole system would have been terminated the instant we detonated the first atomic bomb, because that creates an energy burst that goes beyond the speed of light into other dimensions that disrupt the superhighway of communications and travel by extraterrestrial vehicles. So the intelligence community is desperate to conflate a sort of an Armageddon, end of the world eschatology with the visits of these extraterrestrials, because it is in their interest to create this kind of fear and end times insanity. It has nothing to do with the actual extraterrestrial presence. And this is, any thinking person knows this. You do not have to be Einstein to know that if you're capable of interstellar travel, the technologies you have are going to be hundreds of thousands to millions of years more advanced than what we had in 1945 or even now. And for that reason, you know, they've shown almost a Gandhian level of restraint. However, that narrative, you know, I had recently had a researcher who's very involved in the intelligence community. He says, look, the problem is, Dr. Greer, you can't make a lot of money on dandelions and butterflies. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, you've got to have an enemy. You've got to have a threat. The only way you control people is through fear. So the rubbish that, unfortunately, Mr. Hellyer was sharing that he's gotten from other lunatics in the UFO subculture, you know, it's quite frankly why I prefer to have nothing to do with that cohort, because they're you know, it's fourth hand rumors of rumors of rumors of rumors. On the other hand, I head up an organization that for 30 years has gone out and made direct contact with these civilizations. Guess what? No one's ever been harmed. No one's ever been threatened. Everyone I know who are honest people who speak honestly in the intelligence community completely say the 180 degrees opposite of what you just said. So for that reason, I know that it's sexy. It sells books. It sells movies like the movie Alien. It sells arms. It enriches Lockheed and Northrop and all the other big aerospace giants. But it's nonsense. It's utter and complete rubbish.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Is there, I've talked to people who are inside this brotherhood system, and they say, which is the Illuminati is a new term for them, and they say that there is another dimensional being that they believe is Satan. They really believe this. And that it is an evil entity. Now, what do you think of that phenomenon? Is that something that you think is made up to create fear, or do you think it's real?
Well, of course. I mean, how else do you think demagogues and religious nuts have ruled the world is through fear? It doesn't mean that there's not a level of that. To me, evil is the absence of light and the absence of knowledge. So, you know, there are all kinds of evils in the cosmos, I have no doubt. I mean, certainly we have plenty of it here. I mean, look at Adolf Hitler and Dick Cheney and Watson of IBM, who funded Hitler, and Paul Mellon and all these other folks. I mean, they're evil bastards. Okay, so yeah. So what? This has nothing to do with the whole question of extraterrestrial intelligence, because those civilizations, if they haven't evolved past the kind of false dialectic that we live our existence through, this whole good and evil and the big final battle and blah, 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 they would have blown themselves up long before they could have gotten out of their solar system, which is, of course, what humans are on the verge of doing if we don't wake up pretty quickly. So, you know, again, it's not my place to sort of, you know, talk about what you know, these other kind of religious ideas are. I'm more interested in the now and the future. And I think that people can be enlightened. And I think our world can become a place of enlightenment. And I don't think it means jujitsu with Satan or whatever you want to call it. So that's just not something that I think is a useful conversation, except for the lunatic fringe of religious people.
So when those people claim that they're talking to entities and spiritual beings, because they claim that there's these spiritual beings that they're talking to, do you believe that there are beings from another dimension that they're talking to, or do you think they're just kind of weirdos who make it up in their head, or you just don't even like to go there? I'm just trying to understand if that enters into your framework of these beings that they claim that are from another dimension who are evil.
Oh, sure. Of course. I mean, I just said there are all kinds of beings from other dimensions. You know, I mean, anyone who's had a near-death experience like I have seen on the other side. And there are worlds in other dimensions and dimensions of light. And there are other dimensions that aren't as bright, because that's where lower conscious intelligences may reside. That has nothing to do with extraterrestrials and UFOs, however. So the reason that your eschatology cohort, the eschatology is the study of the end of the world, want everyone to flop all those together in a mixer and spin them together, rather stupidly, I might add, is because that's how you get the public riled up about some existential threat, when in reality, that's a matter of consciousness and the development of higher states of consciousness. I think that, you know, it's a completely separate. Now, are there some crossover phenomena? Sure, because a civilization that goes beyond the speed of light a priori has to go beyond the speed of light and cross through other dimensions to get here. So their physics are what are called transdimensional physics. And it's something I know a great deal about, frankly. I've been in facilities where these are fully operational. And so, you know, to go from one point in space-time to another point in space-time at a million times the speed of light, you know, you're obviously going beyond linear space-time, matter, et cetera. But that's an area of physics and science. Now, when that happens, and an ET craft or being appears in this dimension, they could appear in a form that would be very close or confused with, say, a poltergeist phenomenon.
Sure.
But they're two separate things. So I think that what we are seeing is a sort of a cosmological indigestion where people get confused, but that's been done deliberately. I think the lack of clarity on this is obfuscation and the sort of commingling of these issues serves those who would like to see the public attach their sort of superstitious religious stuff to the extraterrestrial issue. I know this is what happened to Vice President Pence when he was briefed on this issue, because he's a fundamentalist Christian. And it completely confused him about the difference between these other dimensions and intelligences that can be rather unfriendly, and extraterrestrial biological entities from other physical planets and star systems. Now, by me saying one exists, I'm not saying the other one doesn't, but my specialty isn't phenology. I'll leave that to the Vatican.
Okay.
Or to whoever wants
that's
to go
fair.
Into that
that's,
morass.
No, that's fair. So, I'm just trying to get the full picture of it, because I've had other people tell me that there's entities from outer space, other in our universe. There are different dimensions, and there's entities in these different dimensions from their outer space. That's what they said to me. And is that something that you would buy into? Is that an accurate understanding? Or would you say that these other dimensions is a whole nother concept?
There are other dimensions that are not 3D. And that, you know, but we have to be clear what we're talking about. I'm trying to bring clarity, and you want to keep mixing them together. And I think the mixing together is extremely unhelpful. I mean, look, I'll tell you a great story as an emergency doctor. I had a man that was had been shot. We couldn't save him. He died in the trauma room too. And about 3 or 4 in the morning, after after he was taken to the morgue, all the IVs turned on, the cabinets opened, and all the bags and supplies were thrown on the floor, and all kinds of weird stuff happened. The nurses and I looked over at each other and I said, that's one really pissed off ghost or spirit of this guy who had died, you know, on drugs and drunk and shot and everything else. And you see this every day in the ER, of course. I'm an emergency doctor. And so I go, yeah, it is. So, you know, I sort of did a little prayer and sent him on his way, and it stopped and put him into the light. But that's not the same thing as an extraterrestrial starship that goes beyond the speed of light, going from point A to B through B. And in order to do that, transversing various dimensions that approximate what we would call the astral or the worlds of light. It's very, very close to that. They sort of skirt on the underbelly of space-time. And, you know, the people who are physicists and scientists in these classified projects certainly understand this. Now, the lunatic fringe of UFOlogy, demonology, and counterintelligence, the people who want the public to confuse, you know, demons with what have you, I find it very interesting, because when I was at the Vatican, the chief demonologist and theologian for Pope John Paul, I have a very extensive interview with him personally, and his name was Monsignor Balducci, and he said point blank, neither angels nor demons require flying saucers. And he was it was a very simple, poignant. And so he and I had this wonderful discussion. And of course, he had total clarity on this. I mean, his specialty was demons and demonology at the Vatican as the senior theologian for the Pope. And, you know, he and I just sort of found it very fascinating how the public have been dragged into this sort of admixture of superstition and nonsense on the UFO subject. And of course, we both concluded that it's because there are people who are going to benefit greatly from that. Demagogues in national security, demagogues in religion. And by the way, those two have come together very mightily, which is how they target, you know, hapless victims like Mr. Hellyer.
Okay, well, let's talk about the fact that the extraterrestrial beings are good, because you've talked to many beings. How the ones that you've interfaced with have all been kind and good, it sounds like. How do you know that they're all good?
Well, that's, of course, you know, you can't prove a negative. It's axiomatic. I can say it's what the evidence shows. I don't know anyone in the senior reaches of national security who dealt directly with this issue. I mean, we just had the passing of Clifford Stone, who was on a NBC nuclear biological chemical. It's called a retrieval ET craft that we had downed. And the survivors, who communicated very adeptly telepathically, he was one of their interfaces. And his assessment was exactly what ours is. And he was doing this in the 1960s. I don't know anyone except the lunatic fringe of the internet and the lunatic fringe of talk radio and the UFO subculture who thinks otherwise, because there's not a scintilla of evidence. Now, you can't prove a negative. So to say, how do you prove something doesn't exist? Well, you can't. I mean, this is not possible. All I can say is everyone I know who is legit, who's dealt directly with these civilizations and intelligences, and the 30 years that my team has had with thousands of people all over the world making contact, no one's ever been threatened. No one's ever been harmed. No one's ever been afraid, except for things that have been done by the intelligence community. So I'm very skeptical, quite frankly, of that narrative. It's a narrative of a us versus them that keeps the fire burning and justifies Star Wars or the Space Force or whatever. It has nothing to do with the reality of the subject. I think that's one of the real problems, is that because humans are innately tribalistic, we are hardwired to hate anyone different from us. And you see this being exploited politically, socially, and every other way. Well, the next big level of exploitation, let's call it interstellar racism or interstellar tribalism, is to pose one ET group against another, humans against this group, an alliance with that group. Who would benefit from that kind of narrative? Well, the same people who have benefited from us blowing up Iraq or invading countries without any justification, or spending trillions of dollars on a military industrial complex misadventures from the Vietnam War onward that everyone knew was just a make-work project to get people wealthy who benefit from the war machine. So that's the problem. You have everyone falling into that same trap. I call it it's a cosmic level of the Elders of Zion, you know, and the blood libel for the Jews that justified the Holocaust. Now you have it at a global and interplanetary level, where the same masters of disinformation and fear and superstition are exploiting that to create conflict between humans and one or more ET civilizations. It's a predictable behavior of demagogues. Well, what's most tragic about it, however, is seeing the level of gullibility of people like a former minister of defense or someone like that who really ought to know better. But because humans are hardwired to be afraid of something they do not understand, you can go back and study chimpanzees who organize into troops and engage in warfare. We have a fundamental problem with our psyche and our bioevolutionary roots, to where anything we don't understand, our first approach is to club it in the head and get into a war. And that's exactly how you reach an extinction level event on a planet like this. And so that's what we have to avert. That's what we have to change. And the problem is, you know, as Einstein said, no problem was ever solved by the level of consciousness that created it. But what I'm trying to tell you is the consciousness that's created the problem we see in the world today is this exploitation of differences and otherness. And that has really been to the benefit of the demagogues and people who benefit from controlling the masses through fear. And what's bigger, bigger than the COVID virus, was to present an existential threat from outer space. And I think this has entirely been one of the key reasons for the secrecy up until now. And to the extent that there's this fake disclosure happening through the media and TTSA and other entities, and unfortunately, by people getting brainwashed, like the guest you mentioned earlier, is that this is where they want to pivot. They want to pivot the world towards another big boogeyman out there, another big enemy. And of course, the same foxes that have been guarding the hen house of secrecy are going to benefit from that, who have benefited for the last several decades, if not 100 years, through all the wars on this planet. So I think people are just, unfortunately, extremely easily manipulated into fear of anything different. And I think that's why now, for example, we have multiple people who've come forward, including an Air Force intelligence officer, who talks about how they staged alien abductions. And of course, I've known this since the early 90s when I was—
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's what I wanted to get to next.
When I was read into this. And so, so you have all these lunatics out in the UFO subculture talking about how this species of alien or that species of alien are doing this and that. Well, of course, the intelligence community has been stagecrafting, I'm using a term they use, stagecrafting this since the 50s. Because since October 1954, we have had man-made UFOs, things that are anti-gravs. These were combined initially with people who are very short stature or had certain deformities or would be made up like a Hollywood stunt person. And those were used to do some of the early abductions and also cattle and animal mutilations. Now, everyone I know in the intelligence community and every scientist, I'm not talking about UFO nut, but I'm talking about every scientist like Dr. Altshuler, who was the first person to do the investigation of the vivisection of Snippy the horse in Colorado that was portrayed by lunatics as an animal mutilation by aliens. And, a whole book was written, an alien harvest. Well, in reality, he had looked into it and discovered that those were paramilitary operations made to look alien for its psychological warfare value. And then to launch it through the internet, UFOlogy and all that eventually through the internet as sort of this terrifying thing that the aliens are doing. Well, the whole time, of course, I got to know men who were on those teams, who were doing the abductions and the mutilations. Dr. Altshuler clearly concluded this was the case, but his research was taken by a journalist, quote unquote, and others who can remain nameless here. And that was spun into the whole alien mutilation fantasy and the alien abduction fantasy. Now, everyone I know on the inside knows that this has absolutely been done for a psychological warfare purpose to create fear. And guess what? Everyone took the bait and everyone took it hook, line, sinker. So, you know, a lot of people hear me talk. They go, my God, you're the biggest skeptic I've ever talked to. I said, yeah, about 99% of everything on this subject, I think is utter and complete nonsense.
Well, I think that's fair to have that perspective. So you think that the all the alien abductions of people are actually our own CIA or intelligence agencies doing that and creating that false narrative and false reality?
Well, I mean, certainly there are people who've had contact experiences with extraterrestrials, but that sound gets overwhelmed by the noise. So the noise of fear and of these counterintelligence operations is what takes over. I mean, some years ago, the executive director of an organization called the Intruders Foundation, notice how xenophobic and terrifying that sounds. That was started by Bud Hopkins, who was an artist who became an erstwhile abduction researcher. He called me up and he said, Dr. Greer, you're so right. He says, we have people who have had actual ET encounters, and they're all incredibly helpful and peaceful, et cetera. But I've been ordered to take those out of my database and only present to the public the ones that are these military abductions. And we know that the military is involved. I said, well, why would you do that? He says, because I've been ordered to. Now, later I met with the Crown Prince of Liechtenstein, Hans Adam, at the Four Seasons Pier Hotel in New York City in 1994. And he informed me that the reason he was funding all of these abduction cults and researchers is because it would scare people and convince people that we needed to have an Armageddon-like war in space that would force the return of Christ. I'm quoting. So that is how absolutely insane this subject is. I mean, it's completely,
off the
rails nuts. And so, all right. So people who surf the internet, people who surf the internet and listen to all this stuff and, read all these terrifying books and accounts. I go, yeah, well, the reason those kinds of things get multi-million dollar deals with HarperCollins or whoever is because that's the narrative the intelligence community wants to brainwash the public with. Now, it has nothing to do with the truth. So, now most people actually don't want to hear the truth. Most people want to hear a validation of the confirmation bias they have from having spent years and years and years lapping up the saucer of disinformation that the intelligence community and these lunatics put out to the public. I tell people that if we stay on that path, we're headed for World War III. So, if you want interplanetary war and the end of life on Earth, stay on the course of what Mr. Hellyer said on your show. If you want to actually avert that disaster, people need to kind of wake up pretty quickly.
Well, one thing that I've noticed is it seems like a lot of the information that has come out on UFOs were the really good information was 20 years ago or earlier. There hasn't seemed to be a lot of good information lately. Is that what you've seen or is that on purpose?
Well, we get great information all the time, but the question is the rubbish is what gets pushed to the forefront of the media. And also very large book and movie deals. For example, some years ago, I discovered that the books on this subject were being cherry-picked by the big publishing houses to be ones that would induce the most fear and create the most fantastic fantasies of alien abduction and violation, rapes, and all this kind of stuff. And those are the ones that got multi-million dollar or six-digit book deals. If you actually put out something factual and truthful, they wouldn't give you the time of day. So there's a selective process, whether it's in publishing or in Hollywood movies or series that end up on television. And I think that the more salacious and sensationalistic and nonsensical it is, the more it's going to get greenlighted. And that's not by accident. That is by design. And it's something that, you know, I remember when I was on Larry King Live special years ago, he wrote me a note, or his executive producer wrote me a note and said, that was the most watched special in the history of Larry King. I said, yeah, I'm sure it was. However, they wouldn't get us back on because it had such high ratings and we were actually pulling the curtain back on a lot of this stuff that they were ordered not to repeat the programming. So that's how it works, my friend. I mean, you know, I mean, and so that's why when you go out there and you Google this subject or you go and turn on your television or go to your bookstore, there's a very good chance at 90%+ of what will be force-fed and curated and sent to you is, in fact, false information. And we know that that's how the system works. It's what you expect. Let's remember, there's a Canadian top secret document from 1951, the Wilbur Smith document. It's in my book, Unacknowledged. Read it. Now, of course, nobody reads anymore. But if you do read, get that book and read it. And it's in there. It's printed. And he says, look, this subject is the most secret subject in the history of the United States, exceeding the secrecy of the development of the hydrogen bomb. And remember, the hydrogen bomb wasn't detonated until 1952. This was a year before that. So when you have something that is this sensitive, that deals with technologies that would terminate the oil system, terminate coal, terminate public utilities, terminate the internal combustion engine in your car, terminate jets, terminate rockets, start a new civilization without pollution or poverty at zero energy cost, they will do anything to spin it in the direction they want. And the main way they do it is to spin it in the direction of something that benefits them. And that's war and fear. And my friend, that is exactly what's going on. It's really very simple. Once you figure out their algorithms, and then everything else flows from that.
Well, and people that I talk to on the who believe in these other dimensions believe that that war and that fear is coming from these entities controlling us. But that's another conversation. Do you think that there will be legitimate disclosure in our lifetimes, or do you think that this will be the, you know, the status quo? Is they'll try to hide it?
No, it's a legitimate disclosure. Has already founded the Disclosure Project 20 years ago. That event was seen by nearly 1 billion people. Two-thirds of the public believe we're not alone in the universe. The problem is official disclosure. So let's make a distinction. Official disclosure coming out of governmental entities is very fraught. All right. So actual disclosure has already happened. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. It's a rag, threw it away.
Perfect, yeah.
The problem is, the problem is what people, people who are beholden to authority figures, such as the President of the United States,
sure,
or the UN Secretary General, or the Prime Minister of Canada, those people, to my knowledge, are not going to be allowed to stand up and speak the truth about this. To the extent it leaks out at all, for example, in the COVID bill that was signed not recently, but in December of 2020 by Trump and passed by the House, there's a provision for a 180-day period, and then the Director of National Intelligence in the United States is required to report to the Congress on the UFO issue. We know that that report is going to be mostly an empty report where most of this information is left out. And to the extent that it stays on the track that they've been on for the last couple of years as a countermeasure to the fact that Unacknowledged has had 650 million people see it, it's going to say that there's a threat to the national security, because that's the way that they can grow the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about. So we're actually trying to get something going here in the next 3 months where we have a 20-year anniversary of the Disclosure Project, and pull together people from Russia and the United States and elsewhere to talk about the fact that they all know that these civilizations are not hostile. They know that we need weapons space. And that's why this last documentary I released, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, I think the solution is people understanding that they can make contact with these civilizations directly and bypass the government. The biggest mistake public can make is to put too much power and trust into corrupt government and corporate interests, because they are always going to steer the ship right onto the rocks and create the chaos that they benefit from. I think that we as citizens have to learn to take this matter into our own hands.
Well, and that's one thing that we agree with on 100%, because I think, you know, I call myself an independent journalist because I'm not beholden to any corporate person and or government. And when people question things, just because the government or the mass media says something doesn't mean it's true. Look at what the independent journalists say. So when you say about disclosure, saying, yes, there has been disclosure, just because the mainstream or the government hasn't said it doesn't mean there hasn't been disclosure. So I can appreciate that comment very, very much. Okay, well, you know, I know you're running out of time because you have about 5 minutes here. Is there anything that you want to share with my audience that you think is really important for them to know before we finish this interview?
I think people need to independently investigate things for themselves. And empiricism is the mother of all science, meaning direct observation, direct knowledge. And I think we've become a society of passive second, third, fourth, fifth hand gathering of information. In this case, since these ETs are around and they're open to making contact with people who are peaceful and aren't filled with stupid and superstitious ideas, quite frankly, but if people approach this without prejudice and they go out to make contact, the ETs will respond. And then they're going to find out for themselves. So then you don't have to take my word for it. My word's secondhand. I've had direct. Our teams have direct contact. Go look at the documentary, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. And you'll see pictures of ETs that have healed people of hearing losses in our group or other things. I mean, that are right there with us. So these civilizations are extremely interested in interacting with humans that can get clarity and also approach them with a higher state of consciousness, not the consciousness of some medieval end of the world Armageddon psychology. So I think that if somebody can extricate themselves from the morass of disinformation on the subject, then you have the whole cosmos is open to you. But if you stay stuck in mired in superstition and nonsense, I don't think those civilizations are interested in interacting. I think they're looking to interact with people who are free from prejudice and open-minded and can be in a higher state of consciousness and make direct contact. And that's going to happen more from the people. That's why, you know, we have a new app. It's called the CE5 Contact app. And CE5 Contact, we have hundreds of thousands of people around the world now doing this. And every single person who's been doing it has had positive contact, positive experiences, nothing negative. And I go, well, where are these legions of intergalactic slave ships and horrible creatures that you hear about on all the gossip on the internet? Well, they don't exist. And so, you know, I think that that's one of the things I tell people: let empiricism, which is empirical observation, direct experience with a team of like-minded people, educate you instead of, you know, getting lost into the weeds on the internet of gossip and nonsense, or what the latest director of national intelligence tries to force feed you, which is almost certainly going to be nonsense.
Okay, well, good. So now where can people find your latest films and what you're doing? And maybe download that app, because that sounds pretty cool.
So if you go to Amazon Prime, has both Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind and the Unacknowledged documentaries on it now, as does Tubi and a number of other platforms. And any of your app stores has the CE5 Contact app, which is a whole training program in remote viewing, making contact with these civilizations, forming a team. And it also has a messaging system in it, so you can see who's doing CE5 Contact. A Close Encounter of the Fifth Kind is when you make contact yourself with these civilizations, and it'll show who's in your neighborhood or in your town. so you can form your own contact team. And that's really useful because then you have someone of, you know, like mine to do it with. And it also is still safer for people if they're going to go out in a remote area to make contact with these civilizations. A lot of people don't want to do it alone. They want to do it with someone else. So it has this networking feature, kind of like a cosmic dating app where you can be, you can meet people to go out and do this with. So I'd say those are good resources for people. And then there's the book that goes with the documentary, Unacknowledged, same name, the book Unacknowledged has a lot more information than the documentary does actually. And that's available also.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I know we had a ton of problems up front, and I really appreciate your clarity on some of these issues that I threw out there at you. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.